This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to In the Post. Here are your hosts, the Hall of Famer Elvin Hayes and Joe George.
Welcome back to In the Post right here on SB Nation Radio. I am Joe George alongside the Hall of Famer Elvin Hayes. And right now we're going to head out to the hotline. Welcome in. He's an assistant coach with the Rockets. He's been around the NBA for, it seems like, forever. A great basketball player, great coach. I'm from Chicago, so Elvin, I'll say before we welcome him in, I always love watching his son come off the bench for the Bulls in those days. Watching him come in after Derek, or whenever Derek was hurt, was always exciting. We welcome in John Lucas. John, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Joe. You know, you're sitting around to one of my favorite players of all time.
Oh, yeah.
I was in college when he was with the Washington Bullets, and he was one of my favorite players. So to talk to you and Elvin is really a great pleasure for me. How are you guys?
We're doing great, John. And, you know, that's the way I felt about you. I watched you play in college. I saw, you know, you were a great basketball player, great tennis player, great coach. You know, I would have loved to play with you because you're probably one of the best point guards. You had that left hand. You could shoot. You could do it all. You're just really a great player, John. And you know, you're coaching now, and you're with the Rockets. You guys just really had a great year. You know, what are you really? You're contributing to these young players now. As you were a great player, what are you seeing?
Well, you know, and one of the things is that the game is changing, but it isn't changing. Elvin, you know, right now most centers, we don't do a lot of post up in the league. Most guys are lobbing and running to the front of the rim, and they're used as rollers. And you see very rarely that guys post is such a premium on the analytical part of the game right now. Having that we shot as many threes there, but they really like the corner three. Some of the thinking has changed. But the game is still the same. So, you know, we still got to have those putbacks. You got to have bigs. And we're looking for mismatch, especially with pick and rolls, whether they switch. So many people are switching. Now you got a little guy trying to block out a big on the rim and a big out there trying to guard a three-point shooter.
Yeah.
John, what have you seen this year with the transition from James Harden from shooting guard to point guard? What was that like as a coach, kind of helping him through that transition, and what kind of role did you play in him becoming really the point guard of the Rockets?
Well, you know, I think it was really great. Mike D'Antoni really saw that, and I think based on James' plan, James never was a big cutter anyway, so it was his best to give him the ball and then find great shooters or find great role players who can make shots without having to do a lot of dribbling. And that's what has really helped James. He's one of the greatest minds. He thinks like a point guard all the time. He does a lot of film work, a lot of study work. And, you know, as his turnovers come down in the next year or two, he is really good. He reminds me a lot of Magic Johnson with a little more athleticism because of the angles that he can see passes and the way we spread the floor. See, we would like to shoot at least 53s a game. So that means you got to stay at home and guard, and then if James has a one-on-one, we feel really comfortable with that. Because if you put a small on him, he can post him up. Put a big on him, he can do that. Plus, he has great three-point shooting.
Yeah, I know you play professional tennis and you play professional basketball. How were you able to really to put that energy in and be so great in both of those sports?
Well, you know, I was fortunate, Elvin, and that's why it's so important for AAU players, young players. I had a coach who taught me a set shot in basketball and then taught me tennis. And he happened to be the coach in high school in both sports. And that really gave me a future. And so he really has been the guy who has been responsible for my livelihood. Now, as far as playing and teaching me the game, I was never a guy who could dunk the ball.
Yeah.
My greatest attribute was being able to get other people to play together and to give the ball to guys that could score and to be able to make open shots. You know, like playing with you, you got double teamed every night. So in the fourth quarter, I had to make enough shots to keep people from double-teaming you. If I had ever played you, all the challenge in pro basketball when you have guys like yourself, Jabbar, and guys with truly superstars, as like for us with James Harden. I'm trying to find guys that will play him one-on-one in the fourth quarter because we respect the guys that are shooting the ball around him. And that gives your superstar a chance to really be great.
John Lucas with us here on In the Post on SB Nation Radio. And John, you had a brief stint in Seattle, and I think it's one of the sadder things I've seen in my lifetime watching the Supersonics leave that city, a great city in itself. How much do you think the NBA misses Seattle, and do you hope that they return here in the near future and maybe like a potential expansion?
That was always, Seattle had great history. From the King Dome to the arena that downtown. So it was always a great basketball tradition. And even now they have so many players in our league that are coming from the Northwest that basketball is a hotbed in Seattle. Hopefully they'll get a team back. They've been very, very supportive of their teams and within the surrounding and with what Portland Trailblazers have done, I think there's a great market for that there. But they, Slick Watts to Freddie Brown to John Johnson to Marvin Webster, that may be too far back for even you, Joe.
Not for me, because I was against those guys. But you know, John, people don't really realize and understand your development of players. You know, all the young players, kids from all over the country, you bring them into Houston, you help with these young high school players and help develop their game. You have really gotten so many wonderful players into universities and schools around the country. And I'm just wondering, you know, I know you love what you're doing now. You do so many things. You help players, you know, professional players and all professional sports, and you help people in general in life with all the things that you're doing. But do you think that you would ever want to coach again, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, a head coach in the NBA again?
Well, you know, this year has been really good for me because we had – like a three-pronged approach here. Uh-huh. Mike has been really good. Mike coaches the offense. A guy named Jeff Prisidelic coaches the defense. And I do the player development. Mm. So that's been really good for me. And I think that's one of the ways that the league is going to go. I have had an itch to look at coaching again maybe one day. Mm. But I'm really enjoying what I do. And see, you were mentioning the things. I really believe coaching is four things. I think coaching is mentorship, which I love to do. Yes. They help mentor young kids. I think coaching is also counseling, whether they're going the wrong way in life, to try to help counsel them. And then I think it's education, teaching them how to play.
Yes.
And to teach them how to learn how to play the game the right way. And then I think this is the most important piece of coaching, is confrontation. How do I confront you to make you better without losing you as a person or a basketball player? Mm. And I tell players all the time, it's my coaching personality that is having a fight with your player personality. I love you. It's just two personalities. And what we don't fit like that.
It's In the Post here on SB Nation Radio. Joe George and the Hall of Famer Elvin Hayes. And we're joined by John Lucas right now here on SB Nation Radio. We'll continue that conversation with John, assistant coach of the...
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to In the Post. Here are your hosts, the Hall of Famer Elvin Hayes and Joe George.
Joe George alongside the Hall of Famer Elvin Hayes, and we're joined now again by a man who played many years in the NBA, coached many years in the NBA. His son played in the NBA. We're joined by John Lucas, assistant coach for the Houston Rockets. We'll continue that conversation right now. I'm looking at Wikipedia here, so I'm using that as my reliable source today. But I see it says you worked with TJ Ford after his neck injury. And Elvin's talking about the work you do. What was that like working with TJ after that kind of really scary injury that we all saw when he was with the Pacers?
Well, you know, one of the things, TJ was going to retire. And I said, TJ, you know, that's $11 million that you're going to leave on the table. We as former athletes, Elvin, can tell you yourself and what you do. you can't go back and get that money. This is where you're earning your 401k now for the rest of your life, because you will never be able to earn this kind of income ever again. So we had to learn how to fall, how to train to fall, how to get really in prime shape again, strengthen our muscles within our back area, and to get him to believe in himself again. And when he did that, after going to Toronto, he played four more years, and then he got hit in San Antonio with another stinger. But that was because DJ just didn't. And you know, you lose a lot of people, Joe, because I'm in recovery. I've been sober 31 years, and every day I got to get up and go to my AA meetings. What happens is people just, at some point, get tired of chasing what it takes to have the same maintenance to do it. You know, and I think that TJ just didn't want to keep doing the maintenance work to be able to get out there every day to play.
How do you see, when you look at him and you're seeing all these other players around the league, what did you see this year in James Harden?
Well, I think James really has evolved into a leader. He's been very good with all his teammates. He's gotten himself in great shape, and he's done amazing things. You know, he's has the most double-doubles in the league this year.
Wow.
He has done a very good job, and he's averaged points, and he's done a great job, and we've won. And Russell Westbrook has had a great year, too, a triple-double. That's a 55-year record. But in that same year, guys, I don't know if you all know it, but Wilt Chamberlain averaged 50 points a game and didn't get the MVP.
That's true.
And then Oscar Robertson averaged the triple-double, and he didn't get the MVP. The MVP went to Bill Russell that year, who averaged 18 rebounds and was on a winning team.
That's right.
Now, I know you can make an argument for Kawhi Leonard, who is a two-way player, and he's had a great year. You can also make an argument for what Steph Curry's done. But this year, I think it really comes down to James and Russell Westbrook. And obviously, I'm biased. I'm a James Harden fan. I love West, too, but I'm biased to James.
Yeah.
And I think this James has done more with our team, from one, a leadership role. We probably don't win near as many games and without him. And just his overall play is a defender's nightmare in preparing for
That's
us.
That's true.
How do you try to coach guys and help coach them into the right way to slow down Russell Westbrook? Or what's the best strategy that you feel to kind of make him ineffective?
Well, you know, he's a one-man fast break, first of all, so you've got to get back in defensive transition. You've got to stop the ball. Secondly, he's a high-volume shooter, which means he's going to score his points. You're not going to shut him down. Mm. He's going to score. So, and then the other thing is he has a strong mid-range game. So you want to take the strength away. I would prefer that he has to take three-point shots and tough layups and don't put him on the foul line. He averages 13 foul shots a game. So a lot of you take that away from 29 points, you've got it pretty much in check. But the key for him is if his role players can make shots, if Robinson can make enough shots, that you've got to guard him man-to-man in the fourth quarter. Now, Elvin played, and he had, and I use Elvin because I remember all the players. When you have great shooting around you, your job is in the fourth quarter, keep them from double-teaming your superstar.
That's right.
So we try to have him that if in the fourth quarter, I don't want Russell Westbrook shooting that 90-90 shot. I want Robinson, Sabonis,
yes,
Adams, those guys shoot. Well, for us, if you don't double-team James, we're going to have Eric Gordon, who's possibly the sixth man, shoot that shot.
Mm-hmm.
Lou Williams, or Ryan Anderson. Those are all great floor spacers. They're not superstars, but they make open. They're superstars in shooting.
Watching this team develop this year with D'Antoni, the way he's come in and changed the game with this Rockets team has been so much fun to watch.
Well, you know, we've made a premium, and I think Mike was the right coach for us based on the way Daryl Morey wanted to play with the analytics of the game. Now, we're comfortable shooting 53. Mm. You know, I give you a good example. In the first game, we scored 42 points in the paint in the first half. in the first half.
Mm.
And we shot 3 for 16 from the three. Well, we're mad because we our best game we didn't do, which is shooting threes. So in the second half, they tried to make the adjustment. We end up with 64 points in the paint and another almost 60 points.
Wow.
From three.
Yeah. It's almost like you take one thing, but you're going to have to give up something and look like, hey, in the way James is, as I said, he had made Capella and Anderson and, you know, Arizo. He have just fed these guys and just made them, you know, really fat guys. And Beverly,
you know, one of the things that I've said, you know, whenever I was on the head coach in the playoff games I coach, I always would look and see, can I beat this team in a series? Like when you play regular season, you always say, if I had to play them in the playoffs, could I beat them in a series? And so now let's look at it. If you take James off of our team and give us Russell, would we be as effective with him as with James with their team? I think then James becomes more of a post-up player for them and gets to the foul line because he can change the dynamics of his game. We would have better shooters, but Russell would have to create more shots and give up some of his points.
Yes.
It's in the post here on SB Nation Radio with myself, Joe George, and Elvin Hayes. We're joined by John Lucas. John, we'll get you out of here on this one, and I gotta ask a fun question here because I've mentioned a couple times now I'm from Chicago. What did you say to your son when you saw LeBron James jump over him in 2012 for that alley oop?
Hello, 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 John. I lost you for a minute.
Oh, can you not hear me?
Yeah. You know what? I was in D.C. and my wife called me, and she said, did you see what just happened? Yeah, what happened? She said, he jumped over little John. I said, oh, my God, I saw that. And so John called me after the game, and I was teasing. He said, Dad, I said, hello, this is the Ward's resident. We're in the protection program. We've changed our name. And you know, he said, that's all right, Dad. Y'all laughing. I'm going to get it. The next time they played, he scored 27
Yes,
points.
He did. Yes, he did.
That's the way to come back.
And then, you know what else is funny, Doc? I use Lou John because he's a third guard. He loves everything about being a pro. And I tell guys all the time, he just loves being a pro. But the one night he got the start when Doug wasn't going to play as the starter, he took 28 shots against John Wall.
Wow.
And Thibodeau was my assistant along with Ron Adams. So that whole staff had all played for me, so they had known little John because they all used to work him out.
That's amazing.
That's incredible.
So when you ask that stat, Joe, I always get tickled because LeBron James' kid comes to my camp. And so he saw little John and he didn't see that I was sending. And he pointed to another kid. My dad jumped over him. And guess what? He didn't get one call the whole camp.
Oh, my gracious. Way to go. Wow.
He's an assistant coach with the Rockets. He's John Lucas. John, thank you so much. This was a great interview. We really enjoyed having you on. Best of luck the rest of the playoffs. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me on.
It's in the post here on SB Nation Radio. We wrap up the show next here on SB Nation Radio.